Scripture reading tonight will be from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Then the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? And have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." And then the Lord said unto the woman, "What was this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
I wanted to focus our attention tonight on what the scriptures have to say about being deceived. This first lie that we read about in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, as Bruce just read for us, is making reference to something that happens back in chapter 2. I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures tonight, so if you want to get your Bible open and follow along, that would be good. Back in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, we read, "The Lord commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die.'" So what we have over there in the passage that we just heard in Genesis 3 is their explanation for why they sinned. And of course, we've talked about this pretty much every time we cover this in Genesis, that Adam blamed God and his wife. He said, "The woman that you gave me." And then Eve blamed the serpent for deceiving her. Adam didn't say he was deceived. He walked right into it with his eyes open. The woman claimed to be deceived. This is the first time we see the word deceived in the Bible. This is Genesis chapter 3. She said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." I wanted to point out, I can get this right. Yeah. I wanted to point out that this has been going on since the beginning. Since the very beginning of time, and it goes on today. The devil is deceiving. He deceives all of us. The serpent, who is also known as the devil, Satan, he deceives the whole world. We read in Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9, "And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." What I want you to understand, and what we all need to understand, is that from the beginning to the end, Satan is mentioned, and all the way through. He's a fact of life, and if we ignore the fact that Satan is alive and well on this earth, we will be deceived, guaranteed. Jesus talks about Satan. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, when I first read this and I was applying this to this passage, I was thinking, a murderer from the beginning. Well, you know, the consequence of sin was death. We read that back in Genesis chapter 2. Satan deceived Eve. She sinned. The consequence of sin is death. What does that make Satan? Makes Satan a murderer. From the very beginning, Satan was a liar and a murderer. There is no truth in him. He is the father of lies. We see throughout the scriptures that God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived. I want to examine some of those tonight in this lesson. We see about idolatry. Now, back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, Moses warns his people. This is God speaking through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. We read, "It shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commands, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Right in the middle of that, God said, beware that your hearts are not deceived. That's what was going to lead them into idolatry, was deception. Satan is alive and well. He was then, and he is now. The reason those people were deceived is because they believed a lie. They believed, the people that were worshiping gods, that those other gods had some sort of powers. We also read that God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived about those who practice sin. If you look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Paul tells the church in Corinth, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." I wanted to point out, when we read in God's Word the words, "Do not be deceived," the only reason that those words are there is because we can be deceived. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have wasted the space to say, "Do not be deceived." And over we're told, "Do not be deceived." This is something that is easy to be deceived about if you believe what you hear in the world. You know, this passage that we just read, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. Says they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, there's a lot of denominational teaching that says God's grace covers all your sins. You can go on and continue in whatever sins you want. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're going to be saved. That's a great deal of denominational preaching teaches that. We are not to be deceived. People who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived about evil influences. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 33, Paul tells the church in Corinth, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Now, if you look at that verse under a microscope and you realize what it's saying, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. If you hang out with people that are sinners and practicing sin, they're going to influence you far more than you're going to influence them. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. It's right there in the Scriptures. Don't be deceived and think that it's going to go the other way. It won't. You're going to become corrupt. Your good morals will become corrupt if you hang out with people who are evil. We're told that God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived about serving self and satisfying fleshly desires. If you look over in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Paul tells the churches of Galatia, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." When you understand that God is not mocked, this is the way it always is. If you sow to the flesh, from your own flesh, you'll reap corruption. That's what it says. There's no other way around it. There's no other way to read it. That's what it says. We're told about God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived about trials and temptations. If you look over in chapter 1 of James, the book of James, it's a little bit of a lengthy reading, but James 1, 12 through 18 is what I'm going to read. James says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. It's tempting to believe that when temptations are in our path, that God put them there. It's tempting to blame God for the temptations that come in front of us, the ones that we don't yield, or that we yield to those temptations. It's tempting to say, well, you know, God put those in front of me, it's his fault that I sinned. But we can't be deceived about that. This passage is clear. What God brings is his blessings. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. The temptations come from us. They come from Satan putting the temptations in our way and our own lusts carrying us away to sin. God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived about the philosophies of the world. If you look over in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, or it is verse 8, Colossians 2 verse 8, Paul tells the church in Colossae, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Interesting the way this is phrased, that we're taken captive by the philosophies of the world. When we're told that we can be free from sin, that's how we're taken captive, is by believing a lie. God's people are warned and commanded not to be deceived about pride and self-deception. Look over in Galatians chapter 3, or I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 3. Paul says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It's interesting that we can deceive ourselves. It's interesting that our own pride can puff up and make us think that our own thoughts are at the same level with the words and thoughts of God. When we think, it's got to be right because I think it's right. Look at James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. It's interesting to see the word religion and worthless in the same sentence. Is it possible to have worthless religion? Yeah. It says right there. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And I also wanted to talk about what Jesus said about false Christs. I've also put prophets and teachers in there because it was part of the teaching of Jesus. But the interesting thing about these three passages is where the responsibility lies. I'm going to read all three of these. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. In Mark 13, 5 and 6, and Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. And then in Luke 21, verse 8, and he said to them, see to it that you are not misled. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. Interesting phrasing here is each time Jesus said, see to it that you are not misled. See to it that no one misleads you. Whose responsibility is it that you're not misled? It's your own. Each of us has our own responsibility to see that we're not misled and led down the wrong path. So, how do we keep from being deceived? The scripture is pretty clear on that as well. If you look at John 8, 31 to 32, this is Jesus speaking. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How do you keep from being deceived? Know the truth. If you know what the truth is, when you hear a lie, you'll recognize it. I've heard this spoken many times before, and I'll see if I can say it as eloquently as Mickey has many times. But, the bank tellers can tell a counterfeit as soon as they see it. the reason bank tellers can see a counterfeit as soon as they see it is because all they see all day long are the genuine article. When a counterfeit comes in, it stands out like a sore thumb. They look at it and go, that's fake. Well, the only reason they know that that's fake is because all they do is see the real thing all day long. So how do you and I know when something's false? If our nose is in the book and we know what the truth is, we'll recognize a lie as soon as we see it. We'll recognize false doctrine, false teachers, false prophets, false Christ. We'll recognize them all because we know what the truth is. We need to seek after truth. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus identified himself as the truth. We need to be all about Jesus. If we want to keep from being deceived, we need to be all about Jesus. Jesus is the truth. We need to handle accurately the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul writes to Timothy and says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The thing about the word of truth is, if you don't handle it at all, you can't handle it accurately. We talk about the word of God being a sword. You hand somebody a sword who's never handled one before, they can't fight with it. They don't know how to handle it. That's kind of the way it is with the word of God. If you don't handle it at all, you don't know how to handle it accurately. You don't know how to defend the truth. So we need to pick that up. We need to pick up our books, put our nose in the book, read what it says, study what it says. Handle it accurately. We need to obey the truth. I really love the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. I know Chris does too. A lot of people do. Peter had a real fond affection for encouraging people to be obedient. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 21, Peter says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living, enduring word of God. That's a really rich passage. It's two verses, but it's just so rich. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls, how do you purify your soul? Obeying the truth. That's what he says. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. What else we need to do is we need to pray. In Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 9, read this way. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 9. We're told to remember to ask God to keep deception and lies from us. We need to be aware that there are deceivers in the world. We need to be aware that there are people who are serving Satan and don't even know it. There are people who are serving Satan and do know it. But we're surrounded by people who are deceiving us. We need to be aware of that. In 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17, Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The way we keep from being deceived is to keep our face in the book. Read what the Scriptures say to us. God's not lying to us. If we know what the Scriptures say, then we are fully equipped for every good work. We need to be thankful for the kindness, love, mercy, and salvation of God. Please read with me from Titus chapter 3. You're reading verses 1 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Titus says, remind them, Paul says to Titus, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also, once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We need to be thankful for this. We need to be thankful that God saw fit to provide a way of salvation for us. That's going to help us to keep from being deceived, is that we're showing gratefulness to God. And finally, we need to grow in the knowledge of God and in Jesus. We need to grow our faith by adding to it. This again is a lengthy reading, but please read with me in 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. This is a good passage for new converts. You want to know how to stay faithful? 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Great passage. It reads it like this. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped all the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. I love this passage. This is one of those guarantees. You know, we have promises. God has promised us many things. But in this, there's a guarantee in here, right at the end of that passage. As long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You'll never be deceived. As long as you're following the prescription that's right here. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 1 through 11. That's the prescription for staying faithful. You want to stay faithful? Learn this. Study it, teach it, practice it. That's the way we do it. That is the end of the study on do not be deceived. Don't want to leave without offering the Lord's invitation. The Lord's invitation is very simple. We are required to hear the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, we read, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to hear the word of God. We need to believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We need to repent of our sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Paul tells those on Mars Hill, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Judgment day is coming. We need to repent. If we're sinning, we need to repent. We need to stop doing that. We need to get back on the right track with God, because there is a judgment day coming. We need to confess his name before men. In Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. You can't really get any plainer than that. Jesus made it plain and easy to understand. We must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And we need to remain obedient. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You know, there's a lot of power in that one two-letter word, if. How do we know that we're going to remain saved? If you hold fast the word which I preached to you. That's what that passage says. If you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, now is a perfect opportunity for you to do so. The baptistry is ready. We can baptize you into the body of Christ tonight. If you've done that, but you have slipped and fallen away and fallen back into sin, and you would like the prayers of your brethren, now's a good time to come forward and ask for our prayers. We can pray with you and for you that God will forgive you and you can get back on the right track. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.